Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Mark, and it's my privilege to share a relatively new song today. So we have been studying from the book of Ecclesiastes, and one of the key themes that this book struggles with is basically, what is the purpose of life? And for us young adults, much of our time is spent at work. So it is also quite natural to ask ourselves, what's the meaning of work? Is there any purpose at all? Well, some of you may know that I work in SGH, and I joined the Crisis Planning and Operations Department at the height of pandemic in 2020. So instead of telling you what I do, let me show you what I did with one photo. So this is a mass casualty incident exercise, and this was conducted in 2023, and I was the one who conducted this exercise. So that is what my department basically does in one picture. So after 4 years and 6 months in this department, I transferred to another department in May, to the heart of where the real action is, at the A&E, supervising a team of staff to ensure smooth operations. And yeah, this is what my workplace looks like now. And as I made the transition back in May, I took some time to reflect about my career journey over the past 11 years. And one lesson that I held closely to my heart that guided my thoughts was the lesson Pastor shared at Down Memory Lane in 2023 from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10. And it reads, "I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied." Now, what has God given each of us to do? In our context, what is work supposed to be? And allow me to share what I've learned about work after 11 years. Firstly, work is a gift from God. So 11 years ago, some of you might know that I struggled with getting my first employment for 8 months. And I've never forgotten that. And work is not a given. Work is a gift from God. And I thank God for work. No. Secondly, work is a means through which God is molding me to be the person that He wants me to be. And I've seen myself grow as a person and also professionally, and I'm excited to see how much more God will allow me to grow. Thirdly, work is a way where God helps me to make a difference and an impact, to make things better wherever He places me with the abilities and gifts He has given me. And most importantly, work is where He has helped me to understand Him more, the place of faith in my life, and an absolute dependence on Him for His enabling. So we are preparing for a new emergency medicine building in SGH. From a one-floor operation, our A&E will become a three-floor operation, and the rest of the floors are other wards and all. There are many things to do and things to look into as we gear towards the opening come January 2026. And we are doing all that while still running the current A&E operations. And it is no doubt an extra stressful period. And it is in such times where I find myself going back to this basic question. What is it that drives me at work, or anything I do for that matter? And I thank God that we can have this faith perspective towards life and work to rise above all that we need to. And 3 months into this new role, I'm learning afresh and in a deeper way what it means to completely depend on God as I begin each day focusing on His Word. My part is to trust in Him, and my confidence is in knowing that He who has been with me will surely continue to be with me. One song that I listen from time to time after being introduced to it at youth worship is this song called A Christian's Daily Prayer. Yeah, it is a song that speaks of absolute dependence on God and seeking to live for Him and glorifying Him in each and every day of our lives. And that is my heart's prayer and desire as I seek to live a purposeful life for Him. So can I just have a show of hands? How many of you know how to sing this song? Yay! One, two. Okay, so we're going to introduce to you this song. We'll sing the last verse and the repeat chorus, but most the song really sounds about the same. Okay, so we'll just sing the last verse for you all. Yep.
Well, thank you, Mark, for sharing and leading us that song. It was a nice song. And maybe seek to always glorify the Lord. Okay, let's take up the Lord's word. Let's pray and then we can go into Ecclesiastes 7. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you once again for your word that continues to give us thoughts to think through and to even challenge our understanding, whether it's concerning our faith, concerning our understanding. We pray that you will continue to be with us, enlighten us, and continue to guide us. Grant us wisdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a bit of a review from the last time when we met. And we were talking about how Solomon had this weak understanding of God, right? Now, so when you start with something that is wrong, now, some of you have been raising, okay, how come sometimes we look at his what he's writing, it's something that we can apply, sometimes it's wrong, sometimes it's okay, sometimes not so good. Now, that's why I was saying, it's very much like even for David when he wrote the Psalms. Sometimes he's so emotional, he's really trying to vent, he's saying things concerning the enemies and so on and so forth. Not everything is actually quite correct. Right, you have imprecatory prayers and so on. So you need to be able to discern what are the things, you know, for us to appreciate as, okay, this is something that we can work with. If not, then we need to discern whether these things are actually quite not correct. Right. So when he say that God has made what is crooked, now that's not a quite correct thing, right? When you look at a crooked idea, it's something that is evil. So can God do that which is evil? The answer is no. Okay? So it's important for us to have the right understanding, which is what facts are. So we start with facts. For us, we take what we call a biblical theological approach to draw facts from the scriptures rather than what is more from experience. For Solomon, when he draws from experience, and it affects the facts, right? Then you have a problem. Can you see where I'm going with this? The facts must remain as objective. It must remain as facts. From facts, then you have faith. Okay? We want to be able, so again, some of you are raising up, I can understand the facts, but I also have struggles. Sure, so definitely, we will struggle in terms of our faith, which is something that we've been learning also at morning worship, right? Sometimes we lack the faith, but it is with faith based upon facts that gives us, finally, the focus. For Solomon, because the facts are wrong, it affects his faith, it affects his focus. Can you see this? And when we are able then, okay, we have the proper focus on God. Yes, there are times when emotions will be affected. We are overwhelmed. But we must go back to facts. The experiences that we have must not change the facts. God is God. He is the same forever and so on. Our understanding of God cannot change. Those are the facts. It then must help us in terms of our faith, and then it gives us the focus through the challenges of life, and then we are able to move forward, okay? Which is what we want to be able to do. Okay, Ken? This is where we are going from last week. This is what we want to be able to do, and we don't want to be able, you know, to end up like having our understanding of God weakened or affected. And especially when you are emotional, the emotions See, like for instance, so when you talk about David, right? When my heart is overwhelmed, we can understand that. Sometimes our hearts are overwhelmed with life circumstances, with problems, with difficulties. But he prays, lead me to the rock that is high. He goes back to the proper perspective, the higher perspective, which is on God. He is my shelter, he is the one who protects, and so on and so forth. And that's the right perspective to have. Okay, let's go into today's text. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 7 again. And so, right, some thoughts are good, sometimes not so good. As we already mentioned, Solomon is not quite consistent at this point in time. And we need to be able to discern what he is thinking, where is he coming from. Now let's look at verse 15. You see, like for instance, he says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. So is that correct or not? I've seen everything. Everything? You've seen everything? Of course not. You see the thing? Right? There's an exaggeration here. Right? I've seen everything in my days of vanity. Then he goes back, okay, now back to vanity of vanities. Right? There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Right? So he struggles with this because there are times when things are all right, but then here the problem is a sense of vanity, emptiness, because normally, when you look at someone who is just, he will be able to live a long life. He should be blessed. He should live a life until he's much, much older. So this week, we had a funeral. Lakku, who is uncle of Auntie Sally. So many wonderful things were said about him. He's 92 years old. That is something that we, you know, which is normal, something we appreciate. And the Lord has blessed him. We want to thank God for that. But if someone who is good and then he dies unexpectedly, we all find that, wow, this is very difficult to accept. Same with the wicked. The wicked, wow, how come he should be judged for what is wrong, right? But he lives longer. So I don't know whether you... I think it was the news about this person who was in the death row for drugs, right? And they decided to show some leniency, and our president gave him a stay on execution, and they gave him life imprisonment instead, right? I'm sure you heard about this, Sham, right? Did I get it correct? Yeah, okay, good. Right? And I was just reading, well, why did they do that? Because there was another person who was involved and he got life imprisonment instead of the capital punishment. So they realized, okay, maybe this is something that would suit him better, which is fine, right? And so in life, that is a reality. We have to expect the unexpected. Things don't go our way. Do we want to sorrow over that kind of situation? The answer is no. It is what life is. That's the reality. We need to have the kind of faith to be able to believe that unexpected things, the realities of life, will of course sometimes not go the way we hope it to be. Right? And so life can be difficult. But that's life. Okay, then we go on to verse 16. And he says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Overly righteous. Now, can a person be so righteous? The answer is no. There's always room to be more righteous, right? But here the problem is the problem of being legalistic, right? Where you are self-righteous, where you become judgmental, you become overly righteous. That is the danger. You become religiously righteous. It's all about performing things. It's all about doing what is necessary. And then when others don't do it, you are critical about them. That is very much like the Pharisees and the scribes. And the problem is that, so the issue here is, how do we look at what is true righteousness? Many of us tend to think that we are pretty good. We are pretty righteous. And frankly, if we really look at ourselves deep enough, we have to raise that question whether we are all that righteous. Right? We all tend to think, okay, we are doing this, we are doing that, we are serving, and we seem to be really, you know, righteous. Okay, then the other part has to do with overly wise. So then we have to raise that question, what is true wisdom? Because if we say that we are overly wise, again, nothing wrong with having to be wiser and wiser, but we can end up such that we become arrogant and proud about being wise. We can be self-opinionated. Wow, actually, I'm very wise. I have wisdom that is far better than others. Right? And become proud. So this week, I was talking to someone. The week before. And I was talking to this person. And I was trying to help this person understand sin. And as I talked to this person, I made reference to Romans 1. And this whole list of things. Whenever you read Romans 1, your hands just go up, right? Guilty, you know, this is all the sins that we do, and so on and so forth. The person, as I read this, and then the person said, "Know what? I don't do all these things." I was a little taken aback. I said, "Huh? Are you sure or not?" Say, "Yeah, you know, what about pride?" "No, no, I'm very humble." Well, I was like, "Huh? I'm very humble." You know, I said things about what, saying those things. Right? This person actually said it. "I'm very humble." I was like, "I say, because you say this kind of thing, it just shows to me you're not." I had to actually tell the person that. Right? I was like, oh, I was pretty blown away by it. Right? And sometimes, and also we tend to think that we're pretty righteous when we are not. And that's the reality, you see. And that's the problem. Sometimes we tend to think that we are pretty good when we are not. And the challenge that we need, that's why I'm raising this question. How righteous are we? How wise are we? Right? And we want to be very careful about this. Very honestly, I tell you that I'm not, all that righteous and so forth. After the funeral for Laku, we had a lunch. And, you know, sometimes I find that these lunches after a funeral, and if the family is happy to do that, it's actually quite a good time, actually. Because I spoke to Laku's eldest son, and we sat for lunch. And he was asking a lot of questions about church. He goes to another church, and asking a lot of questions about why we do things. You know, how do we keep our young people in church, and why do we have SSP, and how do we reach out to the seniors? And he was also asking about what about those, you know, those of us who go into the full-time ministry, are there certain qualifications, and so on and so forth. So he was asking all these questions. I was very happy to but each time I want to take a mouth of the chicken, he will ask another question, and I was happy to. So I did it very much in the end. Right, because every time I want to eat something, he will raise another question, and I will be like, you know, chomping, but then trying to answer. But it was really a joy, really. And, you know, I was just very glad for what we do as a church. And he said, wow, this is very good. This is something that I appreciate. You know, after that, when I went home, and as I was going back, you know, the thought that came to my mind was, you know, my righteousness are just like filthy rags. That was somehow that thought just came to me. So as much I can talk about what it means for me to be a pastor, what it means for us as a church to do, at the end of the day, we are still unrighteous in more ways than one. And that was the thought that came to me, honestly. Because I felt that as much as we do all these things, we are still unrighteous before the Lord. I'm unrighteous in more ways than one. And I'm not going to tell you, oh, I'm humble, when I'm not. See, that's the thing, you see. We all need to take time to ask ourselves, what is true righteousness and what is true wisdom? And we want to be able to, because if not, you go on and look at this. It says here, and there's the wicked who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourselves? See, you end up destroying yourself. That's the danger. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Now, overly wicked. Why is overly wicked? Isn't wickedness wickedness? Right? Wicked is wicked already, right? Evil is evil. You can't say, evil, there's something more evil. Wicked is wickedness. Right? And the thing is that this is the problem. So it is evil. It is being able to see that wickedness is already something that is very severe and is evil already. Foolishness. Well, where you have no sense of judgment, we are unwise in making decisions. That's the problem. When we make decisions and they are unwise ones, it affects my life, it affects those around me, and it affects your future also. Interestingly, he says here that, right, when you are overly wicked or foolish, why should you die before your time? That's the reality. That's, in a way, normal. Judgment will come upon you. So, you know, even, for instance, you know, someone like prominent Ong Beng Se, right? And he was caught up in you know, the Iswaran case and so on and so forth, right? And finally, okay, he pleaded guilty, and yet there is this thing called judicial mercy. I thought, wow, which is good, right? He has cancer. I went to check what kind of cancer he has, and, you know, they gave him a judgment that was, I thought, fitting, right? He has cancer. They're not going to put him in prison. It's going to make things worse for him. And so they just give him a fine, which is correct. But we all are faced with judgment one way or another. Right? And there is divine judgment and death, depending on, ultimately, it's still the Lord's prerogative. Whatever it is that's going to happen, it very much depends on the Lord's prerogative. Right? What say you? What do you think?
Actually, Pastor, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think when I saw this passage, 15 to 18, right? Because yeah, there's an observation that he saw a just man who perishes even though he's righteous, and then there's a wicked man who prolongs his life. So I thought Solomon's jaded or maybe pessimistic conclusion to say Therefore, there's no point in being overly righteous and overly wise because you might be destroyed early anyway. But on the other hand, you also shouldn't be overly wicked because then you'll die early.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, so the thing is that what is... how do you look at overly righteous, right? And overly wise? The point is that... so that's why I raised the question, what is true righteousness? Right? When you look at over being overly righteous. So when you look at the earlier part, there is the just man who perishes in his righteousness. He's already having... okay, sure, the problem of trying to come to terms with life. Right? And then when you look at the idea of overly righteous, being overly righteous and overly... the problem here is, how do you look at righteousness as overly? Right? The point is that there is a sense of pride or arrogance or, you know, being able to end up in such a way that it is far more legalistic than anything else. Can you see the way you want to actually see this? Rather than just him, his... and when you look at it from a standpoint... because later on he talks about overly wicked. What's that? How can you be overly wicked? Wicked is wicked, right? So his thoughts are not quite clear, right? And then if you were to go on, right, it is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Tell me, do you think that he fears God? Yeah.
Not really.
No, that's a problem. That's precisely the point. He can say one thing, but does he actually do it? He can say, okay, fear God. Right? So the problem here, when you look at this part here, is he will state things, but yet at the same time, so when you are overly wise, the problem of pride and arrogance is there. Right? And mixed with foolishness. And now, it is good that you grasp this. Now, what is it that what is it that we truly ought to grasp?
That you should just fear God.
Okay, before you fear God, right? It is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. So he's saying, grasp this, but what is it that he's asking you to grasp, right, to really understand, and also not remove your hand? That means once you grasp it, hold on to it, correct? You don't move from one to the other. So he's actually stating something that you want to be able to have, and then it leads you, he who fears God will escape them all. So for us, what is it that we want to grasp? Right? What we really want to grasp is true righteousness for us. That's why I'm stating it beyond what he's actually written here. If you just go with what he's written here, you won't come to what needs to be understood clearly. If we understand, you know, what does it mean to be overly righteous? Right? Already, we already stated, can you be righteous enough? No, what? That's part of the problem already. And the problem that is being raised here is we don't want to end up being legalistic or you know, wise, arrogant. But the problem is that, so that's why I raised up this idea of true righteousness and true wisdom. This is what we want to be able to grasp and hold on to. We don't want to move from here back to overly righteous and so on and so forth. Does that help? Can you see where we're going with this? Why we want to do this is so that we want to be able to ultimately have true wisdom. What he's stating is, okay, his perspective, his understanding, and really being able to, okay, this is what we don't want to end up with. So once we have true righteousness, we don't want to go back to being overly righteous. Once we have true wisdom, we don't want to go back to being overly wise and so on and so forth. And being able to say, okay, how do we then with that, so then with true righteousness and true wisdom, doesn't it then lead us to having a fear for God? Can you see how I'm actually trying to bring this text? Well, this is what he states, but this is what we want to work with. Can you see the difference? Okay, go ahead. Raise questions. Go ahead. Ask the other lawyer. Okay.
Pastor Mark, where I saw the 16, 17. I think one thought that I had was not to swing to either extreme, to be very conscious of, or on one hand, not to be overly righteous, but on the other hand, to make sure that there's a constant check that I don't do things that are foolish and wicked.
I know. And so, but when you say constantly check, but check in order for us to be what?
True righteousness.
True righteousness, right? Ultimately, we want to work with true righteousness, right? It's not about, I need to be overly righteous. That's not the point. The point is, he's stating it, but the point is that we want to lead on to what true righteousness. And you're right. We need to check ourselves, what is true righteousness? Sometimes we tend to think that we all understand and we are righteous in our way. Yes, we all have imputed righteousness. Yes, that's fine. But what about personal righteousness? Are we all that righteous? Are we all that wise in our ways that we feel that, this is what it means for us to do things? You see, this is something that, let's go back a little bit. This is something that Solomon already raised up about fearing God, right? You go back to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. Okay, fine. He talks about God's work, what God does. Nothing can be added, nothing taken away. Men should fear before him. But yet, does Solomon actually fear God? The answer is no. So he can write about it. And then the other one is actually chapter 5, verse 7. For in the multitude of dreams, remember we talk about these dreams and so on and so forth. Can we allow dreams to affect the way we see God, understand God? The answer is no. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. He talks about fearing God, but actually, does he really fear God? The answer is no. Not at this point in time. So that's why we need to work with true righteousness, not being overly righteous or overly wise. If we go there or we allow any other level, so-called righteousness, then that's not true righteousness. It's good to be able to ask ourselves, do we really have true righteousness? Do we really have true wisdom? Right? Will there be unexpected things in life? The answer is yes. But how do we respond to those things? Are we being righteous? Are we being wise in our approach? Right? Or are we allowing ourselves to be affected and we are pursuing the wrong things? Right? And we want to be able to avoid anything that is evil, wicked, wrong. So if we were to grasp this, then it should lead us towards having a fear for God. Doesn't it flow? Yes? That's how I would see it, right? If you have true righteousness, that means we are... I mean, I'm not saying that we would have perfect righteousness, no. But at least we are looking towards pursuing true righteousness. We are pursuing true wisdom. In doing that, we would have that fear of God as a result. That's something that we want to grasp, and we will seek to fear God as a result. That is what Proverbs 1 talks about, and so on and so forth. Right? If you seek wisdom, you will ultimately, you will have a fear for God. Right? Rather than not. So I don't think we want to be able to see ourselves all that righteous and all that wise. We are not. Not saying that we don't have righteousness, not saying that we don't have wisdom, but yet at the same time, I think we recognize how much more we are lacking in all these things. And especially when you have the right approach, then you understand what it means to really fear the Lord. There's a sense of reverence and regard towards God that is a far more appropriate and right and correct, rather than, you know, having a so-called perception of ourselves. Right? Look at Proverbs 10. I mean, when you talk about life and so on and so forth, in Proverbs 10, verse 27, it says here, right? The fear of the Lord prolongs days, and the years of the wicked will be shortened. That's God's prerogative. Ultimately, God is the one that will judge. God is the one that will bring about the appropriate, in terms of your lifespan, what is appropriate for you. If he wants to spare someone, that's his prerogative. If not, again, that is God's prerogative. Okay. Any other questions? I hope this will help you rethink about righteousness and wisdom. Sometimes you ask, okay, well, how does this apply to me? Well, as I said, let's learn to look at our own righteousness and ask ourselves, are we all that righteous? Seriously. Are we all that wise? Are we looking at things in its proper, correct perspective? Rather than not. Okay? Something for you to think about as you go into your groups. And we want to be able to you know, ultimately finding that fear of the Lord that is appropriate and right. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words. Help us, Lord, to continue to learn from it concerning Solomon and his perspectives. At the same time, help us, Lord, to learn true righteousness and true wisdom. We oftentimes tend to think that we are righteous and wise in our ways. But in reality, even as we check ourselves candidly, we recognize that we are not. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to rethink things and to be able, Lord, to work towards true righteousness and wisdom that we may truly be able to fear you the way we ought to. We ask for your blessings, and even as we give an offering, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.